kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is Brother Ferdinand, and thank you for participating in the School of Divine Revelation, as well as inviting others and sharing these truths. The greatest need in the body of Christ today, on which everything else, I dare to say, including the fulfillment of the Great Commission, the need on which everything else depends, is a revelation of who God is. The knowledge of God, as we have established, is the foundation for our relationship with God. Whether we obey God or we don't, whether we love others or we don't, whether we preach the gospel or we do not, they are all dependent on our revelation of who God is. It's as we see God as He is that we are moved to obedience, that we are moved to compassion for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. It is as we see God as He is that faith rises in our spirits. Remember, we have consistently established in our studies that faith does not come from knowing the promises, but from knowing the promiser. It is not a promise that makes the promise credible. It is the character of the one that has promised. So if we don't know the one that has promised, then we can have a million exceedingly great and precious promises, but they will not profit us. We will not approach them with the full assurance of faith, knowing that the one who has made these promises is faithful. So it is the character of God that backs His promises and that gives us confidence in those promises. So if we don't know Him, all of those things will not make sense. So I want to encourage you to continue in your quest to know God. And as we study together, some of the things may sound familiar, but like they say, familiarity breeds contempt. We must continue to engage these truths in a non-stop fashion until they register in our spirits and until we practically experience them in our walk with God. And so we've been looking at divine attributes, and we have seen, you know, several of those attributes and the characteristics, divine trademarks, like the Message version points out. And as we engage the divine attributes, we get to know God better, and then those attributes also begin to manifest in our own lives. They begin to rub off on us by virtue of fellowship, and by virtue of the fact that we have the divine nature as God's children. So, don't forget again that the divine attributes will work on your behalf as you honor them. You know, the divine, of recent, I've just been meditating on the fact that my Heavenly Father is omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's omnipotent. Even you, what are the implications? I've been sharing with people that every revelation of Scripture has an implication and an application. Every revelation of Scripture has an implication and an application. So you have revelation, then you have implication, then you have application. And when we make the application, we experience transformation. Now, so revelation is not the goal of Scripture. The goal of Scripture is not to give you revelation, is to bring transformation. So revelation is a tool for transformation. But for that to happen, we have to consider, what are the implications of this revelation? If it is true that my Father is omnipotent, almighty, omniscient. He knows everything. He knows tomorrow. He knows yesterday. He knows what the devil is planning. He knows the next 50 years of my life. He knows. And then this, my omniscient, omnipotent, almighty Father is now omnipresent. He is also present where what is being planned against me is planned. He is present. You see, God is not just omnipresent in place. He is also omnipresent in time. He is omnipresent by virtue of the fact that he is eternal. He occupies eternity past, the present time in the future, and eternity in the future. He occupies all of them simultaneously. God does not approach time sequentially like we do. He occupies all of time. He is omnipresent in all of time and all eternity. He inhabits eternity. That's what the Bible tells us about him in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also who is of a humble and of a contrite heart, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So what are the implications of these great revelations? Well, if I really know, if I get the revelation of the fact that my Father is like this, should I be worried? Should I be harassed? Should I be troubled about the future? Should I be hopeless when I have an omnipotent Father? Should I be calling things impossible when I have a God who created all things? So you see, hallelujah. These things are powerful. This is the foundation for faith. This is the foundation for rest and peace in your spirit. This is the foundation for a powerful ministry. So now, if this God that I'm describing commissions you, which demon spirit can paralyze and stop your vision and stop your call and stop, block the assignment? Who can block what this God is advancing? So I want to encourage you. There are plenty of things that are flying around, but these things don't impress me. I'm telling you the truth. Some of these big messages that don't concentrate on the character, the person, the power, the revelation of who God is, of Christ, and of what he has done for us. Some of them, they sound big, but they don't really amount to much in the thick of the battles of life. So continue to grow in the knowledge of God, and the fruit of this revelation will be manifest in the transformation that you will continue to experience, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. As we continue to look at your word, please continue to unveil this word and reveal yourself to us in ways that we have not known you before. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like us to look further at a divine attribute, which is that God is light and he dwells in light that is unapproachable. The Bible is very clear when it teaches that God is light. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, look what the Bible says there. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. At all. You see, the Bible is very clear. So it says, if we now say that we have fellowship with this God who is light, and then we are walking in the darkness, he says we lie and we are not practicing the truth. Verse 7, say, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So the Bible is giving us information here. It says, this is the message that we have heard. What is the message? The message is that God is a person, and this person called God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness. Remember, we saw that God is a consuming fire. Our God is a devouring fire. In the book of Isaiah, he said, who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings, with the devouring fire? He's talking about God. And he says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully, and the rest of the things that that scripture tells us. So God is light because God is a consuming fire. He cannot be consuming fire and be other than light. Now, we are now being told that in him, there is no darkness at all. At all. There can be no darkness in him at all. So if anybody now says that they belong to God, that they know Christ, and they are walking in darkness, practicing darkness, and doing secret works of darkness, we are now being told that that person, see, if we are behaving like that, we are telling lies. And, you know, there is no light in us. So God is light. And then we are now told further that he is in the light. That's in verse 7. See, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. So you see, the light that is coming from God is the light that God himself inhabits. He's not in a different light. So he is light and he is in the light. In Psalm 104 and verse 2. In Psalm 104 and verse 2. Listen to what the Bible says here. This is amazing. In fact, from verse 1. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are very great. You are clothed with honor, glory, and majesty. Eh? Then he says in verse 2, he says, who covereth yourself with light as with a garment? He says, you cover yourself with light as with a garment. And then you stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He says, oh Lord my God, you are very great. You are very great. Your glory, your majesty, you are awesome in your greatness. And then he tells us in verse 2, he says, you cover yourself with light as with a garment. So the clothes that God wears is light. So he is light. He is in the light. And then he covers himself with light as with a garment. He is clothed in light. Wow. He is perfect light. And then he is entrenched in light. And this light is not just ordinary light. It's light that is alive. It says, in him was life, and the life in him was the light of men. So you see, this is living light. For you to get an example of what I'm describing to you, remember that Saul of Tarsus encountered Jesus Christ, God the Son, on his way to Damascus. And the Bible says it was midday, around 12 noon, and suddenly a light shined from heaven on Saul of Tarsus. This light knocked him down to the ground. And then the light began to talk. The light said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then Saul said, who are you? From the ground now. Notice where he's talking from. He's talking from the ground. That's where he began his Christian life. You see, a lot of people are not starting right. They never encountered Christ in a way that broke them, knocked them to the ground, shattered their pride and their self-righteousness, brought conviction of their sins, brought them in broken repentance to the Son of God to have mercy on them and save their souls. A lot of people just, you know, came out to answer altar call. They say, Jesus, Jesus, I'm sorry, I missed it. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. And I'm born again now. You see, that kind of encounter, you need to encounter God in a way that actually changes you. No, this is not some theoretical. You don't collide with a trailer and then you forget it. See, why much more when you meet Almighty God? Look, our experience of Jesus Christ must be real. It may not be light shining from heaven, voice and thunder, you know, and all that, but it needs to be real. A real encounter that changes us and transforms us, from takes away the heart of stone and makes us genuine children, or breaks the power of sin. Not this so-called born-again thing that somebody is going to church singing in the choir and the person is living in systematic planned iniquity. He's telling lies with ease and sleeping around and watching pornography and carrying bitterness and hatred inside the heart. And he's born again. He's preaching. He's in the church. What kind of born again is this? This is not what we find in the Bible. When people met Christ, the light of the world, they were convicted of their darkness. And out of that conviction came brokenness. Then they cried to God for mercy. And then Jesus changed them. The light, first of all, exposed their wickedness and darkness. That's what the first thing the light does. And then the light brings conviction. And then the light brings conversion. Then the light now becomes our new nature. And we hate the works of darkness. We become children of light. And then we begin to walk in the light. Oh, blessed be God forevermore. In the name of Jesus. So Saul of Tarsus met the light on the way to Damascus. And he was having a conversation with the light. So this is not inanimate dead light shining. This is living light, blazing light. Wow. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up." It was the light talking. So when Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world," you can see that that's a revelation of his divine nature. This is not theoretical. Don't theoretize what God has concretized. Why are you making, what? There's nothing theoretical when Jesus says, "I'm the light." It's not figurative. Do you know that in the new heavens and in the new earth, oh glory, John the Apostle said, "I didn't see, there was no need for the sun there." He said, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they are the light of this celestial city. Literal light. Tai, hoi. Do you understand what the Bible is saying here? That in the celestial city of Almighty God, 12,000 furlongs, four square, that's about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles, this city described in the book of Revelation chapter 21. He said, this city whose walls are made of, you know, all kinds of precious stones and then the gates, and this city that is 1,500 miles four square. Imagine a city, celestial city, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high in the sky. Imagine a celestial, and what I'm telling you is described in the Bible. You can read it in Revelation chapter 21. You will find it in Revelation 21 from verse 9 all the way down to verse 22. The city is being described. In verse 16, it says, the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he said, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. 12,000 furlongs. My matching here says in verse 16 there, stadia. This one says about 1,380 miles. Some calculated at 1,500 miles. So watch. And 12,000 my, you know, stadia, 1,380, 1,500, depending on the calculation you use for this, you know, ancient measurement called the furlong. You see, its length and breadth and height are equal. You see, the length, the breadth, and the height of the city. What I'm telling you is described in scripture. Listen to the Living Bible, the New Living Translation. He said, when he measured the city, he found it was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. The length, the width, and the height of the heavenly city, 1,400 miles. Wow. Now, listen to the miracle here now again. He said, verse 22, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now, listen to verse 23. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. Hey! Hey! He says, the Lamb of God is the light of the city. The literal light, not figurative. In other words, everybody in this city is walking in the light as they are going around. You see, heaven is not pie in the sky. This is a real city. And it exists. So, Prophet, now where is it? Do you know? Let me say something here. When a scientist says there is no God, that is a very stupid, arrogant statement. And what I'm telling you is the scientific fact. The fact actually is that what a scientist should say at best is that we don't know if there is God. That is the humble answer. That's what he should say. But to say there is no God is stupid arrogance. Because where have you checked in the universe? See, scientists have established that the universe is endless. Now they are talking of what they call the multiverse. Scientists have not been able to get to the edge, the end of the universe. They talk about what they call the known universe. And this known universe is made up of billions and billions of galaxies. And each galaxy is made up of billions and billions of stars. We, on planet Earth, our own galaxy is called the Milky Way. It has billions and billions of stars. And our sun in the sky is just one star. Out of these billions of stars, in this one galaxy, in a universe with billions of galaxies, and now we are being told is a multiverse with many universes. This is science. Now, so a scientist says there is no God, there is no heaven. The answer is, where have you checked in the universe for you to reach your conclusion? Because we have not even gotten out of our own Milky Way galaxy. So if you have not gotten out of your corner, it's like somebody has not gotten out of his village and he says there is nothing like New York. The question is, well, you've not left your village. You should travel out of your village, come to your capital city, and then maybe out of your country before you conclude that there's no place like New York. Because people are living there. The fact that you, from your corner, you don't know it, or you didn't go to school, you've not seen. Because if you show a villager, the first time I was in Singapore and I saw skyscrapers, I'm wondering, is this planet Earth? Because I'm coming from Africa and I've never seen anything like this. And God is telling me, he said, a day is coming, all of these things will be destroyed. Because the earth that now is will be renovated with fire. So God is light. And look at the celestial city. 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles high. Skyscrapers. Look, the highest skyscraper in the world today is not up to 1 kilometer up into the sky. The Burj Khalifa is now around something meters into the sky. Now imagine a city. Oh, may God turn our hearts away from vanity and restore us to the hope of the gospel. The eternal hope that one day we are going to spend all eternity with this glorious God in heaven. Wow. And while we walk on earth, we walk in victory, carrying him inside us by virtue of the indwelling Christ in you, the hope of glory. Toy, toy, hallelujah to the Son of God. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you here? And in this glorious celestial city with skyscrapers, divine God's own handiwork. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And now, in this celestial city, they don't need sun, they don't need moon, they don't need an electricity company. Why? He said, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they are the light of the city. Wow. God is light. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, I want you to see this as we wrap up this segment. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, or rather chapter 6 from verse 15, he says that which he will manifest in his own time, talking about God now, he who is the blessed and only potentate. The only potentate. Potentate means the one that has the power. The all-powerful one. The one that has the final say. Glory to God Almighty. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 16. Who alone, you see, he's describing, these are divine attributes. He said, who alone has immortality? The Amplified Bible said, in the sense of exemption from every kind of death. Exemption from every kind of death. Immortality. He is not mortal. He's not going to die. He will never be terminated. He is immortal. Hey! Who alone has immortality? Then listen to what we are told about God. Dwelling in light that is unapproachable. Dwelling in light that is unapproachable. One of my Bible versions, Nolly Olaf translates this scripture. He says, he lives in a house of unapproachable light. He lives in a house. Don't forget Psalm 104. He says he clothes himself with light as with a garment. He himself is light. He is in the light. He covers himself with light as with a garment. That's the dress. Look, when you see God, what you are going to see is light. You're not going to see another human being sitting on a chair because he is robed in light, in infinite majesty. And then we are now told that he dwells in light that is, Living Bible said, light that is so terrible that nobody can approach it. Unapproachable, blazing light. He says in Psalm 97, a fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about him. This is God, our God. And this is not some cosmetic fire. It's not just physical fire. It's fire that is alive. Light that is alive. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey! Hey! God is terrible. God is great. God is awesome. God is majestic. Oh, that God will turn our hearts and return his church to the revelation of who God is. When we see him as he is, then we can worship him correctly. We will approach him with awe. Now, listen to the wonder of wonders. He says, whom no man has seen nor can see. That means no mere man can see him and has seen him in the fullness of who he is. Because somebody will say, but Ferdinand, but there are people in the Old Testament, the Bible said they saw God. They didn't see him. God covered himself in a cloud when he was talking with Moses. The reason you can't see him is not that he doesn't want you to see him. The reason is that human flesh, human body, the human body cannot stand. Do you know that the human body cannot stand x-rays? There are radiations that this mortal body cannot confront and survive. That's, God is more intense than any radiation in the universe. So the natural body cannot see him and survive in the fullness of his glory. That's why we are going to receive another body. We are going to receive a glorified body that can stand in his presence for all eternity. Now, the wonder of wonders is that this God that dwells in unapproachable light by virtue of what Christ has done for us and has now made us children of light, we can approach into his presence in the place of prayer. We can approach to worship. We can approach to give him glory. We can approach in our service. We can approach to minister to him. We can approach, hallelujah, oh, praise God. Jesus has made a new and living way, making it possible for us to draw near to our awesome, almighty, infinite, boundless Jehovah, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, eternal Father, you are light. Take away every darkness, every walk of darkness from our hearts, from your church, from our families, from our phones, from our heads, from our minds, from this planet Earth that you created. Remove dark, obliterate darkness. Help us to walk in the light. In the name of Jesus, with nothing hidden, no evil. Help us to live as children of light. Thank you for making provision for us to approach you. Oh, because of Christ. I thank you for making us children of light. We are born of light, so we are light in the Lord. Oh, Father, we praise you. We thank you. And Father, help us to live in such a way that on that glorious day, when the light of the world will come again to receive us unto himself, we will be ready for glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now let your light shine upon every area of our lives. Let your light bring clarity on decision making. Let your light lead us. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us, bring us to your holy hill. Let them lead us in business. Let them lead us in our relationships. You said, he that believes in me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Now, Father, let there be light upon our pathway. The path of the just is like the shining light, shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. In the name of Jesus, let your light shine upon every area of our lives. Every satanic work of darkness, let your light scatter them. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The light of the Almighty truncates, paralyzes, frustrates every device of yours against us, against our families, and against our ministries. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, blessed Father. Glory and praise and honor, majesty and adoration be to you and to you alone for all time and eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Child of God, man of God, woman of God, God bless you. May God restore the knowledge of God to his church. This will bring revival, I'm telling you. This will prepare the church for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this will cause us to walk in victory in every area of life. Please share this message. Play it in church. Gather a group of friends. Listen to it and discuss it. This is how to spread the knowledge of God. Truth does not spread itself. Even error does not spread itself. If we receive the truth and keep it to ourselves, then the truth will not make progress. But if we receive the truth and we multiply it, we broadcast it. Bible says the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Publish this truth. I'm not saying this so I can become a star somewhere on the internet. I'm not interested. I want the truth of the character and of the attributes, the glory of our God, to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. May the Lord bless you and continue to use you greatly for his glory. Bye-bye.
Maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea.